some unique stuff. And we were just having a conversation about that, what that loud resonance, deep resonance was in the background. It sounded like Barry White. The music of Guelph folk duo Tragedy Anne inspires chills, provokes smiles, and reminds you to breathe. That's a good thing. I like that line. With the occasional nod to alt blues and a handshake with contemporary folk rock, Liv and Braden intertwine the storytelling power of Tom Waits with the musical nuance of Mandolin Orange. Whew. Crafting something simultaneously familiar and fresh. Rooted in passionate vocal harmony, Tragedy Anne's songs tackle topics from love drunkenness, it usually happens when the lights go up at the end of the night, to hospital visits with equal intimacy. They've just released their full-length album, produced by Toronto audio genie James Paul, called Matches. You want to check out Tragedy Anne live on their Canadian tour, because they're in the middle of it right now as we speak, and they've decided to be so kind to drop by the studio right now. Hi, guys.
Hello.
I was thoroughly impressed when your publicist sent me the material. Not that that matters, that I have to be impressed, but I was just, I'm so glad you were able to make it on such short notice, so thank you.
Yeah, this worked out really well.
So the last couple I had in here, the ones I thought were together, that were not a couple, in the city. But thankfully, you guys just told me that you're engaged.
We are, yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to put my foot where it normally goes. So which came first, love or music?
Well, in a way, it happened at the same
time.
Oh,
I knew you were going to say that.
Just because we met at a gig where our previous bands were playing on a bill together. Mm-hmm. Although we didn't start playing music together for at least 6 months into our relationship.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Yeah. You don't want to like confuse things with music.
It does muddle it up a little bit.
It does.
Yeah, it's a challenge, but that's worth it.
It's a challenge, and also I think it can be such a positive thing at times, too. It is such a benefit to have this kind of deeply intimate and personal relationship with the person that you're creating with and spending so much time with.
And having the ability to empathize so well is, like, the best.
Totally.
Who's more pathetic? I mean, empathetic.
I think Braden is.
Dude, you are a very emotive cat. Like, I've watched some of the videos. I watched you. This sounds creepy, but I watched you kind of walk around the folk thing.
Yeah, yeah.
The folk thing. That's what they should call it. The folk thing.
I like that. It's got a ring to it.
And you, what is wrong with you?
I don't know if the show is long enough to talk topic.
What is your family situation? What have you come from? Because you're not like this is not going to. Please take this way, okay?
I'm all ears.
Because I think females are better than males when it comes to many, many things.
I would agree.
But when it comes to creativity and emotion and emotiveness and communication, I think they kick males' butts usually. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking you've had some female influence in your life.
Am I wrong? No.
This is my only moment to get all Dr. Phil, and I'm wrong.
Totally, and without going into things too deeply, I would agree with you in the sense that I, on a personal level, have struggled with male connections and male relationships in my childhood and in my life. Not that there's any like real deep emotional scarring there. Like it's not Dr. Phil worthy, I would say.
All right,
but I've always connected with women better than men.
Yes.
It seems.
Why?
That's a really good question. I think growing up and since then, of course, I have been very comfortable with my own identity, or relatively comfortable with my identity, and comfortable with being effeminate.
Yeah.
And some of the situations or places that I grew up in where an effeminate young man wasn't necessarily an effeminate
wasn't cool.
man. No, it wasn't a great way to make friends.
Yeah.
Or a great way to make lots of friends.
Yeah.
And so that shaped how I am now.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. Yeah.
Well, I don't know what we just said, but I just want to say, yay you. Mm-hmm. Does that work?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I can live with it.
It's a weird way to start an interview.
Tell me about all of your family.
Yes, please. Yeah, just puke on the mic. Who made the first move?
Ooh. Mm. In terms of us
Yeah.
Being together.
Now you're engaged. Who made the initial first move?
The initial first move, I think.
Please tell me it wasn't swiping.
No. No,
not that there's anything wrong
not
with that.
No. We were lucky in that we kind of ended up together before that dating apps and whatnot kind of came into their heyday. On our end, I would say I made the first move.
Okay.
But in a way that let me take it from there.
Yeah.
Well,
it was really cool.
We just finished talking about the fact that he's not a D-bag.
He's great. He's the best.
We need that on the website. Yeah.
Braden is not a D-bag.
You guys are interesting. Let's get into a song and rescue this conversation. Sure. What's the first song y'all are going to do?
We're going to play a tune called The Last Thing, and it is the result of a lot of reflection on pre-Liv relationships that I had and all that fun
Liv,
stuff.
Liv, how do you feel about this song? Is it your least favorite song?
No, it's actually hilarious that you say that because I brought up the point early on in the progress of this album, should we cut this song from the album? And not because of the content, it just, I wasn't feeling a connection with this song because I hadn't gone through the same things that Braden did.
All right.
And I just couldn't place myself into it. And then we had a really good conversation about his experiences and my experiences in the past.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we got our bassist in the picture and he got the groovy bass line going that you hear on the album, somehow those factors kind of made me feel...
Made you like it.
Yeah.
Made you dig it.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. And what's the song called again?
The Last Thing.
The Last Thing by Tragedy Anne, live on The Drew Marshall Show.
One smoke left and it's scaring me. It's staring at where my match should be. A match for you, a match for me. We just don't match together anymore, it seems. Blew the fuse, we frayed the seams, dug up the hatchet and buried our dreams. But hope seemed eternal and we found a stream, so we're crossing our fingers while we pack to leave. And a warning, but it's the last thing I need right now. And a warning, but it's the last thing I need right now. Some time when we both know we're far from all right. We fought so hard to have more fights. When my cat killed your canary, should have seen the sign. So I guess that we'll accept this is what love's about. And I want it.
And I want it.
And I want it.
Beautiful stuff. Good job, guys. Tragedy Anne live in the studio. Okay, you know what? You should be terrified about where we're going to go next in this conversation.
Let's do it.
Bring it up.
The songwriting process between couples that dig each other can get weird. I think we sort of touched on that earlier. Does one play a different role, or do you take this like a similar role but in different songs? Did that make any sense?
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, basically, generally speaking, Braden writes the beginnings of the songs and shows them to me at various stages, and I'm a little bit more of
an editor.
I'm a finisher. Yeah. I like to add things, so I add harmonies when I feel like they're necessary.
Yep.
I add instrumentation to kind of add another character to the song. And often I kind of suggest tweaks to the lyrics to kind of make them shine in a different way.
All right. So you're a thoroughbred and you're a quarter horse.
Fair.
Wow. Fair. All right. We're going to have to think about all these things.
Yeah. Well, a quarter horse will beat a thoroughbred in the first quarter mile. So they're a strong start. But the thoroughbred is the one that finishes the race.
Interesting.
Yeah. There
well,
you go.
That's like,
I
guess the beginning is
about.
Braden, the middle is me, and I feel then the ending is together.
Yeah, if they were both drawing a cart and the quarter horse was taking on, like, it's your kind of starter engine and getting you most of the way, or part of the way. And
it's
then
more like a relay race.
Yeah, yeah. That's a fair way to compare if we're sticking.
Does somebody
with
else
want to
do this interview? Because I'm... Oh, man. Who said sure? Who was that? Shauna. Originally, when music became part of your life, when you knew it was going to be, this music is going to be a part of my life forever, were you a kid, like, doing talent shows when your parents brought friends over and stuff like that? Like, what's your earliest memory of being a creative freak show?
I've always loved music, but I always thought it was completely unrealistic to be able to pursue it. I didn't really know anything about
Canadian.
The folk community. I didn't know really, how to make it work unless you're like discovered with a capital D and
yes, and wearing
YouTube and
wearing
all
a
these
meat
things.
Dress.
Maybe that too. And I wasn't really into that idea. I went to school for finance, and that's what I initially applied for, and then my voice teacher was like, "Oh, I heard about this program at that school."
Which school?
Western University in London.
Okay, right.
And it's a popular music program. It seems like it's right up your alley. You're writing, you're singing a lot. And so I said, "Okay, well, I'll apply to that too." And so I ended up doing a double major with those in school. And partway through, it ended up being that I was like, well, I definitely don't want to do finance for the rest of my life, but that could be handy if I become a musician.
I have to interrupt you, because there is someone sitting in the hallway who does the finances for this station, who's went to Western.
Oh my gosh.
And is married to a guy from the Headstones.
Yeah.
Oh.
So music industry, finances, and Western. You two should go for coffee.
We really should.
That just got really weird.
Go Mustangs,
wow,
right?
All right.
Go Mustangs. Okay.
In anthropology as well. Wow.
Okay.
Crazy.
Guys, do you mind? Can we just get the show back here?
It came to me much later.
Yeah.
But it was kind of a relief when it came into place. It was a bit different for Braden.
Yeah. In how I came to music was again, fairly late in the game. I didn't start playing an instrument until I was about 16. And was mostly playing a role as a singer in these very high school hard rock bands. And it was,
of course you're the singer in the rock band high school.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. And
how long did it take you to grow the man bun? Because I'm trying. I am trying.
It's an ongoing thing. It's been a couple of years now.
It was like a year of growth.
Yeah, it was a year of growth. And then there's been
growth.
Like trims since then, I guess.
Could you get like a good head nod thing? Stepping on the monitor at the front of the stage and just...
I didn't have the hair at the time, if I let it down, there's a lot of it. Like it's thick and heavy, and I feel like I'd throw my neck out a little bit if I tried that. I'm the least rock and roll person.
You totally are.
I'm sitting here in a knitted sweater. Like this is. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
That's a good moment. Good moment. Okay, so high school, peer pressure, chicks, all that kind of stuff. Did I just say chicks?
You did just say chicks. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever used that term unironically. That for me was a lot of I loved listening to music and knew very little about it and was lazy or procrastinated a lot when it came to learning anything about it, and just figured, well, there must be an easier way to do this. So I didn't learn an instrument for quite some time.
Right.
And I'm still kicking myself for that, because there's a lot of theory and musicianship that I'm having to catch up on. And So when I started learning guitar, I started writing almost immediately, and it was these all these very basic kind of acoustic, simple folk songs that did not fit the hard rock band kind of thing. So yeah. As high school kind of came to a close, and those bands, everyone went to different schools and such, and I stuck around and waited a year. I was writing these tunes, and I similar to Liv, ended up going to school for it, but at Seneca in Toronto for their independent music production program. And that's kind of a crash course in operating as an independent artist.
Right.
So because Braden went to that program, he was so psyched about school. But apparently before then, school wasn't really
not
his
so
thing.
Much. No.
But I got to know him just at the start of that journey, and yeah. So I always thought like, you're a natural keener. Like you're talking about school all the time.
Yeah.
Which is really cool to see, but
not so apparently much.
Apparently that wasn't always the case.
No. Yeah. High school, I enjoyed high school, and I feel like I grew a lot in it, but I...
You guys are talking like it was 30... You know, back when I was in high
day.
School...
Well, we're in our 50s, Drew.
Oh, wow.
Kind of act like that.
I need to get what you're getting. We are live on the Drew Marshall Show, which is devoted solely to the art of music. And this week's recording artist is Tragedy Ann. And we're going to get them to do another wee tune right now. No, let's do a tune first. And when we come back from this tune, I want to talk about the tune we opened with. Because there's some spiritual stuff in that, I think, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe?
Groovy, yeah.
Groovy. What's the song called? Who's setting it up?
This one's this tune is called Regulars.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is it sponsored by Metamucil?
Could be. If you're listening, Metamucil, this is
a good song. Is there a backstory to it?
For sure. I spent a number of years in the trenches as a server and a bartender in the service industry.
You'd kill as a server.
It was a lot of fun.
Dudes with personality are so rare.
Yeah. Well, and working in casual fine dining for a time worked really well for that, and I think it informed my work as a performer as well. You know, because you're having to talk
to
everybody. Yep. Absolutely. And you just get faster, you know?
Yeah.
But then working in dive bars as well, and you meet people and you hear stories and you write tunes about them.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Live on the Drew Marshall Show, Tragedy Ann.
Howie drinks water so his wife won't smell beer on his breath. I think he's just here to talk to somebody else. Hanging low at the bar, we both know that he won't be tipping. He shows pictures of his family, just magazine clippings. Regulars. Regulars. Reserve their chair, return to rust there tomorrow. And monthly, and I always ask where she's been. She's living for the 31st when she knows that check's coming in. And she likes to tell me that she used to date Ronnie Hawkins. She stares in each glass like it's there that he's been waiting. Regulars. Regulars.
reserve their chair, return to rest there tomorrow. Stumbles in around four for his daily prescription. His doctor said not to have more, but he doesn't listen. With poison in his bones, he's dead set that he's going to win. Racing with chemo to see who can finish him. Regulars. Regulars. Reserve their chair, return to rest day tomorrow. Of a bad lot are hoping they'll maybe feel better when their hearts aren't at home. They all sit alone together.
Amazing song, really well done, guys. Love that song, man. So lyrically, that just, I mean, if you've ever spent any time in a drinking establishment or maybe been a regular yourself, you're just resonating with that one. Really, really well done. That was concisely described and melodically transported.
Thank you.
Like three melody notes in that whole song.
Yeah, I know. But those are the things that you succeed, right? That's, it's just what you
Keeping
need.
Keeping it simple sometimes.
That's why Gordon Lightfoot was so big. Three-chord Gord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, I gotta keep telling people. I'm just sitting here enjoying this, and I forgot to tell everyone who you are. Tragedy Ann. TragedyAnnMusic.com is the website, and they've just released their first full-length album. Congratulations. Produced by Toronto audio genie James Paul, called Matches. You want to check Tragedy Ann out live on their Canadian tour now. Where are you playing tonight? St. Catharines?
Yeah. St. Catharines tonight at Mate Cafe. Yeah.
Mate with Joe Lipinski.
Yeah.
Oh, Joe Lipinski. How's he doing?
He's doing well. Yeah, he's got.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
He's got a new little baby.
Yeah. Playing some beautiful music. I can't wait to hear him.
Cool. Okay, the first song that we spun you guys in on, what was it called again?
Holy Water.
Why?
Well, that's a good question. Well, it's in the chorus, which is usually a good indicator.
Place for the title.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and the song is about reverence for our bodies of water and respect and water protectors and.
Oh, I like that concept. I thought you were going to go right. You went left.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Well, and that's,
I thought you were going to get all, you know, churchy or.
No, it's really interesting with this song because it's informed by a few different books. One of them is the Bible, and it was a really interesting way of weaving that into the story without actually being. Religiously identifying ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because who wants to do that?
I mean, there's to each their own. It's a wonderful thing. If
well,
that
let's leave it
you
to Cat Stevens.
The world and
well, yeah, Yusuf. Yeah, and what it ended up being was I had read these two books, Ishmael by Daniel Quinn and No Is Not Enough.
Who's that by?
Naomi Klein.
Oh,
and. Reading those helped inform the lyricism of the song really, really well. but it still wasn't quite there. It needed something archetypal, something particularly heavy in there, and there are few better places to go for archetypes than the Bible. So we went in, I dug into the Book of Revelations and got some really
good references
there. Oh yeah.
Well, like it's some dude on an island eating mushrooms. Come on.
It's a tune about the end of the, about the end of the earth.
Oh,
you know,
okay. Well,
and
you gotta go there then.
Exactly. Yeah. Like that's the place and really like you're talking about, you know, the title being holy water and how much do you get into religious context and the chorus itself reads that the holy water is in the river. So it's making this comment on these things that we consider holy and what we might think are really sacred things.
The moment for me that this song really felt real, like with a capital R, real, was when we went into my mom's classroom and recorded her grade 5 students singing the chorus for this song. Because they're the future. They're the ones that are going to be controlling these bodies of water and hopefully trying to protect them down the line. And thank goodness James Paul had the idea to include some voices from the next generation in this song, because it really brought it to a whole new meaning when we did that. And it was cool to have that conversation with them too. And
With the kids?
Yeah.
We talked about the end of the world with the kids?
We did. We thought it was important so that they knew, okay, well, we're not just going to sing something fluffy. Like, this is something that's going to impact you for the rest of your life.
Right. Yeah.
And if you want to be a part of it, you got to know what it means.
Well, and it ended up being more than just including these next generation humans in the song. It was about including them in this conversation and having them as best as we can at the table, because Liv's right, they're not only controlling, and that's such a tricky term
with this,
but they're also living off of these elements. So it's very important that they are aware of what's going on now and what can happen.
You know, kids are used quite often for either purity or for evil. You know, they use like the children in the, you know, crawling down the stairs backwards in the horror movies kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Or, for example, you know, sometimes they use kids.
Jesus loves him, but the rest of us think he's a schmuck. I can't do it because my two front teeth are missing. He's a schmuck. It's the Drew Marshall Show.
You see?
Oh, my gosh.
He's so cute.
Oh, my goodness.
When that kid was doing that, she spit on me.
Oh.
Two front teeth were missing, so it was like, pa-ching!
I was going to say, it's like SeaWorld or something. It's good.
Yes!
This one is called The Light We Have, and it's actually the only other song on the album that features my mom's grade 5 class singing.
Are they here today?
No, I wish. That would be a fun field trip. But it's a really important song, and I think appropriate for this weekend, too. It's all about appreciating the things that you have in life, and not wanting more from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was inspired largely by a 5-year-old that we met last summer who spit out the line that you'll hear at the end of the song.
Again with the spitting.
Yeah, it's all about the spitting. Well, and we we're releasing a video for this song tomorrow, which is super exciting.
Ooh.
And since there is a small army of interns and assistants in the room, if anyone feels like, don't listen to what Drew has to say about this, please join us. If not, that's okay too. We can carry our own.
What's the song called again?
This one's called
The Light We Have.
The Light We Have. Again, live on the Drew Marshall Show, Tragedy Ann.
Summer's getting old. Apples in a basket, hold on to sunlight when you just can't grasp it. Make these days your own, they're only getting shorter. Build your wall against the night, lay bricks with thinning mortar. I know the talk is cheap, and I'm told advice is cheaper, but to-dos won't get done. As a hibernative sleeper, assemble your team. Together rake the yard up, interrogate the squirrels, find where they hid the walnuts.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We gotta love the light we have. It's not much, but after night it comes back. Survive on hot chocolate, live in a cozy sweater, gaze at frozen stars you can only see in winter. They're falling for you, a fleeting secret one day will burn out too. But it ain't our time yet. No, it ain't our time yet. We gotta love the light we have. It's not much, but after night it comes back. Oh, 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 oh.
If you feel like joining us,
you get what you get. You get what you get and you don't get upset. You get what you get and you don't get upset. You get what you get and you don't get upset. You get what you get and you don't get upset. You get what you get and you don't get upset. You get what you get and you don't get upset. You get what you get and you don't get upset. We gotta love
the light. It's not much, but if tonight it comes back, we gotta love the light we have. It's not much, but if tonight it comes back, it comes back. Comes back.
Nailed it. Well done. Good job, you guys. Good job. Tragedy Ann on the Drew Marshall Show. What were we talking about? Oh, folk music. What is folk music? Because when I was at the folk music thing, which they need to call it that, the folk music thing, I saw stuff that was like country. Mm-hmm. I saw some Cadian kind of French step dancing stuff. I saw, you know, John Denver-esque mm-hmm. people. I saw world music, you know, Sultans of String. I saw so much. Mm-hmm. How do you define folk music?
It's one of the most daunting questions as a folk musician, but it's such an important one. I think reflecting on that weekend myself, one thing that's always present is a story that unites a group of people who don't even know each other.
Hey, listen, rap music is the same thing. Suge Knight, he's got a lot of stories. He's going to be doing a lot of writing now.
I think it, like, the act of storytelling can also be a part of it and how that story is told.
Okay.
So with Canadian and, North American in general, folk music, it really started, it seems, with guitar and banjo-based songs that are sung, although that obviously comes from so many other places. We watched Rumble recently. If you haven't seen that documentary...
Is that the roller skating thing?
No, it's a documentary about the origins of music in this area.
Oh, yes! Sorry, someone else told me about that. Yeah, yeah.
The
First Nation
presence.
Yeah.
I was only gonna say I feel like folk music itself. I mean, the definition can change depending on your location. There's a lot of folks. So what we might call world music and European
is folk,
folk music
to them
is
in their
folk
land.
Music to them.
Yeah.
And then
they even just call it traditional music. Call it folk music.
No. Well, over here we call it trad, but there it's folk.
I'm sorry, trad.
Oh, okay.
Trad,
the other way
as in traditional.
I got that. I just didn't know it was a thing.
Yeah, well, it's a thing.
I can't keep up with the cool people.
It's tricky. It's tricky. Fake it till you make it. But what we do here, and you hear Bob Dylan and you think, oh, that's folk music, that's singer-songwriter music that has been labeled as folk. But I think it is music of the people, and you can draw that lineage. You brought up hip-hop, and a lot of folks are wondering, you know, where did all the protest music go? Well, it's in hip-hop. Mm-hmm. And so there is that direct line from, you know, folk scare era songwriters writing all this protest music, and then they in some ways got complacent, and then suddenly it shows up in hip-hop music, and there's a lot of the same themes going on, you know?
Well, that provided zero answer.
I don't think there's ever going to be a good
All I know no. is that a river answer. Runs through it.
Yeah.
There you go.
Mm.
And so does a mighty wind. TragedyAnnMusic.com is the website you want to go to. And again, they've just released their first full-length album. We're going to spin a track off of that in just a second, produced by Toronto Audio Genie. Do I need to keep saying that? Is he really an audio genie?
Well, I would say yes.
James Paul. He's got a serious Bible name, that's for sure. The CD is called Matches. You want to check out Tragedy Anne live in their Canadian tour now. They're playing in St. Catharines tonight. Any idea what the next one is?
Next one after that, we're playing a couple house concerts, and then we're in Elora.
Elora. That's the name of my granddaughter.
There you go. Congratulations.
Not really.
A week from today, we're in Toronto at the Burdock. That's our Toronto album release. We're having the Reverend Mike T. Kerr open up the night, and he's going to play a tune with us. He played lead guitar on one of our
is
songs.
Is he a Wheel Wevwind?
He's not a Wheel Wevwind.
Okay.
He could be, though. If he spent as much time at that as he did playing guitar, he'd be up there.
All right. All right, you've heard him. Go see him. Tragedy Anne.